and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Donald Trump declared he'd go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to appeal the ruling by Colorado's highest court that he can't be on the ballot there for trying to overthrow the 2020 election.
The court accepted the argument that Trump engaged in insurrection in violation of the 14th Amendment. Lawsuits like this have come before courts in seven states, but this is the first time that Trump has been deemed ineligible for office. But this is not the final word. The Trump campaign calling this ruling deeply undemocratic, adding that they will swiftly appeal to the United States Supreme Court.
ABC's Mola Lenghi. Civil libertarians are suing to stop it, and the White House and Mexico's president came out strongly against the new Texas law authorizing state and local police to arrest migrants entering the state illegally. Google getting out its checkbook, paying $700 million to settle allegations that it stifles competition against its Play Store. This is ABC News. A trade group representing TikTok and other big tech players is suing the state of Utah over its first-in-the-nation laws requiring minors to get their parents' permission to use social media apps. The Net Choice outfit says the laws are unconstitutional because they restrict access to public content, compromise data security, and undermine parental rights. The State Department is strengthening its ties to the Smithsonian in a bid to use science as a diplomatic tool.
America's first diplomat, Ben Franklin, used science to unite the U.S. with other nations. Current chief diplomat, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, says it's just as good an idea today.
For nearly any given problem, as I said, somewhere someone has the beginnings, at least, of a solution.
Secretary Blinken signing an order strengthening State Department ties with the Smithsonian Institution scientists that he hopes leads to more trade and peace. Andy Field, ABC News.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is in Wisconsin on Wednesday. He'll talk about his track record boosting the nation's economy in Milwaukee Wednesday morning. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Wisconsin next month on the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. No details on that visit yet. University of Wisconsin pay raises are finally approved by state lawmakers. A panel of state lawmakers signed off on the deal Tuesday. It was approved by the Board of Regents last week. The deal reclassifies around 40 diversity, equity, and inclusion positions within the UW system. Legislative Republicans say that they will continue to push out DEI positions throughout all of state government, with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss saying that they will begin reviewing diversity programming in other state agencies as well. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Lux basketball tonight at the Forum. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Fiserv Forum. Where the Bucks and the Spurs are playing, we'll have a full recap after the game. The Spurs young star Victor Wembanyama did not play tonight. 19 years old, 7'4", but an ankle injury kept him out of the game. NFL Packers trying to figure out what went wrong with their defense. How did the Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin get open so often? I asked Matt LaFleur.
You talked about some of the Godwin receptions, like back-to-back 20 yards, seemingly in front of the safeties.
Yeah, that was another one. I mean, there was one of the plays, we were in an empty set, and one guy gets misaligned. We're trying to check to our three deep coverage, which, you know, it just, it was a bad deal because we never got the check. So now you've got basically Dre on two receivers and you don't have the rotation coming his way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, light winds and lower 20s by sunup. On your Wednesday, morning clouds will give way to sunshine, highs topping out in the upper 30s. More clouds on the way Wednesday night. We'll keep them around on Thursday. Late Thursday night, a little rain and snow mix. It's 21 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it's a Biden Eve Tuesday edition.
Welcome to it, my friend.
Yeah, Crudy, good to be with you in the Madison studios. Aaron, working the board. Hope Nate feels better real soon. Thank you, Aaron. Our fair audience, happy, happy Tuesday to us all. Biden rolling to Wisconsin tomorrow, huh?
Tomorrow morning. Kind of getting here early, by understanding.
Oh, do we have times and places?
Yes.
And all? Oh, it's been established now.
Okay. Yes, but I don't have that information
right, we'll dig it up in front of me. We'll dig it up.
Biden to arrive at the airport, I think, wheels down and Mitchell, about 10:30. I think that was the plan, if you want to meet him on the tarmac. I'm not as excited about that aspect.
Okay.
We're a late afternoon drive time product, Dom. So Biden coming to Milwaukee, but you're here in Madison. You're in, I like to call this the Solidarity Realty Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios, Dom. And you are here because there's work to do here and there's work to be done. And I got Cheese Bro on my mind.
More, we can't get away from this guy, man.
The Cheese Bro. You know, here is what I would say. Did you ever see the movie The Departed? DiCaprio was in that movie.
Yeah. Everybody dies, man. Yes.
Everybody. Literally, everybody
Martin
dies.
Martin Scorsese. Everybody dies. Yes.
Everybody dies.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's a good movie. But everybody dies.
But he's the rat. He's the rat.
Who's the rat?
Cheese Bro's the rat. How do we know he's the rat? There's new reporting at the Hill that basically says Cheese Bro's been ratting all around the country, Dom. Trump co-defendant. Cheese Bro testified in Nevada to avoid charges. How do we know? Court records. I think they could have sealed those a little bit longer. Dateline The Hill. Kenneth Cheese Bro, the lawyer who helped craft former President Trump's fake elector plot in 2020. Testified before a secret grand jury in Nevada last month in order to avoid charges, according to newly released transcript of the testimony. The court filing, which was released Sunday, shows prosecutors had requested Cheese Bro's name be removed from the indictment in exchange for his full cooperation. That's the ratting part. Full cooperation with the Nevada criminal investigation into this scheme to keep Trump in power.
That was just a backup plan. It wasn't a scheme.
By submitting a false slate of electors. And Cheese Bro's testimony took place about a week before six of the so-called fake electors were charged in Nevada with offering a false instrument for filing and uttering a forged document. Instrument, my bad. They all pled not guilty Monday. All except Cheese Bro. He's apparently been exempted from prosecution, Dom. The testimony also came on the heels of a separate plea agreement that Cheesebro struck in Georgia. He's a rat twice over, Dom, where he was among the 19 defendants, including Trump, charged in a wide-reaching Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act indictment related to their efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. In Georgia, Cheesebro pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit filing false documents, and six other counts were dropped on. That's a sweet deal.
Almost too sweet. According to the transcript in Nevada, Cheesebro detailed his central role in the fake elector plot, particularly as it relates to Nevada. He explained to the jury the theory behind the scheme as he outlined it in a memo to Republicans in targeted states. Cheesebro explained that the memo was meant to encourage Trump electors in states with pending election-related litigation to submit the electoral votes for Trump, regardless of whether Trump actually won the state, with the hopes court would ultimately rule in Trump's favor. Cheesebro said he stressed to them that they have to send in their electoral votes to Washington on December 14th if there's any hope that those would be counted on January 6th when Congress convenes and counted in favor of Trump. And what I explained, Cheesebro said, in the memo detail is that even if the Trump campaign hasn't won the state on December 14th, it's imperative that the votes be sent in, because if the votes aren't sent in and the Trump campaign won a week or two later and everybody agreed that Trump had won Wisconsin, Congress cannot constitutionally count the votes in favor of Trump on January 6th if that paperwork had not been sent in on time. Wisconsin again. And we talked about this yesterday with Andrew Hitt. Cheesebro testified that he noted his specific concern about Nevada's election law and regulation. Quote, Nevada is an extremely problematic state because it requires the meeting of the electors to be overseen by the Secretary of State, who is only supposed to permit electoral votes for the winner of the popular vote in Nevada, Cheesebro wrote in the memo, which he read aloud in court. Earlier reports previously confirmed Cheesebro had met with counsel in Nevada late last month. The Washington Post reported that Nevada officials have offered Cheesebro a proffer agreement where they agreed not to charge him in exchange for his truthful testimony. Truthful testimony. Now, Crudy, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Andrew Hitt, former GOP chair here in the state of Wisconsin, it was interviewed by Upfront over the weekend, and Andrew Hitt spoke about the extreme pressure they were under. So much pressure. We got to get this done. If we don't do this and Trump wins, then it's our fault. The pressure, man. It's a pressure campaign. Does that get him out of jail, man?
Well, I also pointed out Andrew Hitt, to my humble opinion, is just trying to cover his ass.
Well, yeah.
And he must think he's out of the woods. Or why would he be doing this publicly on the WISN TV? Now, if I were criminally complicit in, let's say, a false elector scheme, and I was also an attorney at Michael Best Strategies, sort of a political guru sort, well, I would be
claiming to be a political guru sort. Billing hours would indicate that you'd be a very smart political guru sort.
At least a rainmaker sort.
But what, you were tricked by Rudy? They were tricked. That was his. Oh, we were tricked. We didn't know there was so much pressure. We had no idea what we were doing.
And the aforementioned Cheesebro. Cheesebro was in the room.
In Wisconsin.
And Andrew hit a very unbelievable set of answers on the WISN. Claims that, oh, I didn't know who the Cheesebro guy was. He just came in and videotaped us. You know, and the armed security didn't react at all. They just let him in.
And there's nothing that they thought they could have done about it. But of course, if you and I would have showed up recording their meeting, they probably would have promptly thrown our asses out, don't you think?
And that we were ticketed for being in the locked Wisconsin Capitol building during a pandemic, during a closed building moment.
Like right around the same time they were there.
Yes. I'm pretty sure they would have ousted our asses, Dom. So Cheesebro, he's clearly planning on living offshore.
Back to Puerto Rico, man.
This guy is not going to be welcome around the GOP water coolers in the greater D.C. or really anywhere at this point.
He made his Bitcoin money, man. He's, you know, traded up the wife. He's good to go. He doesn't care at this point. Now he's concerned about keeping his ass out of jail. Which, I mean, good for you, I guess, now. But really, why would you do this in the first place? Try to overturn democracy? Because why? Because, you know, I mean, Andrew Hitt and the Republicans, they signed.
He thought he saw a loophole in the Constitution.
Come
just
on.
Just legal theories. They're just throwing them against the wall.
Yes.
And seeing what sticks.
Let's see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? Well, now he's traveling around, covering his ass, testifying. I wonder if he will ever come to the great state of Wisconsin and testify before perhaps an investigation led by perhaps, I don't know, Attorney General Josh Call into our elector scheme.
Another of the former Trump acquaintances, lawyers, Dom, that you might now call a rat, Jenna Ellis. Remember her?
Yes.
She sat next to the farting, flatulent Rudy. And
she was very cryy and remorseful,
yes,
apparently.
Yes, very cryy and remorseful. Well, here's the saddest part. Like fellow co-defendant Kenneth Cheesebro and Sidney Powell, attorney Jenna Ellis is avoiding state prison by agreeing to a plea deal in the Fulton County, Georgia, District Attorney Fonnie Willis's RICO election interference case against former President Donald Trump. Got to keep them all straight. You know, they've got categories down.
There are quite a few.
But for these lawyers, there may be non-criminal repercussions in admitting that they lied when they promoted Trump's false claim the 2020 presidential election was stolen from him. Now, we've been talking about this Andrew Hitt character, this supposed legal eagle guy over at Michael Best Strategies. Would he fall under this same category, Dom, as a false elector who's now admitted that through a civil process? I'm wondering, could that be used as evidence against him in his disbarment action? And by the way, we did ask Andrew Hitt to join us here on the big program. It's going to be a while, like February, they're looking at currently, Dom.
Okay, man.
More from this article. I found this at the Raw Story, one of my favorite sources. Powell, for example, has been battling a defamation lawsuit from the Dominion Voting Systems. And Ellis, according to Law and Crime reporter Marissa Sernoff, is a candidate for possible disbarment. Oh, that's a shame. In a December 15th letter sent to the Colorado Supreme Court, members of the State's United Democracy Center and lawyers defending American democracy argued that Ellis should be barred from practicing law. Him, her, him, I mean Cheesebro, her, I mean Jenna Ellis, got to throw Rudy in that category. There's Sidney Powell, there's Jeffrey Clark. Jim Troupas, I'd like to see him thrown in one of these categories, Dom. They all should be disbarred.
At a minimum, Crudy, at a minimum. Ellis's critics wrote, "We, together with the additional signatories below, urge the Office of the Attorney Regulation Council to promptly commence a formal disciplinary proceeding against Jenna Ellis, seeking her disbarment in light of a recent guilty plea to a felony in Georgia and to initiate an interim suspension proceeding under Colorado law. The crime to which she pled guilty, one involving false statements in the context of her representation of former President Trump, unquestionably reflects adversely on her fitness to practice law." The letter notes that Ellis was previously censured in connection with her claims on Twitter, now X, and in the media that the 2020 presidential election was stolen and Joe Biden was not legitimate. In March, she formally acknowledged that she made public misrepresentations in November and December of 2020 in her capacity as counsel for the then president's reelection campaign, while also advising her status as lawyer, according to a rule of Colorado at the time. Yes, I mean, at a minimum, it should absolutely be disbarred.
But they were all under pressure, Dom. So much pressure.
So much pressure.
Come back.
What to do? I mean, when you lose an election, what do?
There's no pressure unless you say no.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
QS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Tuesday to us all. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Aaron, I appreciate you playing the Rocky theme song. You know what? I requested this in honor of me.
Yeah, you've been working out a lot,
I worked out. I went to the gym today. Hey, every journey starts with the first step.
Yes, 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 it does.
I didn't go real heavy, you know, because
what did you do? What was the workout?
I did chest.
So bench press?
Bench press.
Flat bench press or dumbbells, incline, decline, dips? What are you talking about?
Just normal bench press.
Okay.
Repped it out, though.
Yeah.
Lots of reps. Then shoulders.
135, put the 45s on, just repped it out.
Yeah.
I got
didn't,
you,
didn't
man.
Didn't want to overdo
no,
it.
No, I got it, man. You got to work the dust off.
Straight up shoulders.
Okay.
Try to go a little bit light, but make sure I had great form.
Yes.
You know, because I always have excellent form. And then did some curls, but not too much because got the bad elbow. You
know, curls for the girls, man. You do any legs, bro?
Oh, yeah, I did.
I don't believe you.
It's been 15 years since I did leg curls prior to today.
Wait, leg curls?
Yeah.
Like you lay on your belly and you pull them up like this?
They were actually both in a seated position.
Oh, sure, yes. Yeah. Like one of these.
I didn't care for that as much. I prefer the lay on your belly and, you know, do the hamstring curl.
Versus sitting down and curling back.
I still remember Coach Downey in high school. We had this guy, Jeff. He had Jeff hop on. He said, well, you know, here's your hamstring and here's your gluteus maximus, or in Jeff's case, gluteus maximus maximus.
Poor Jeff. No, that's good, man. You got to work on that flat ass of yours, dude.
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
leg extensions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, quads, hamstrings. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, the seated row.
Rowing back? Oh, man, look at you. You're hitting all the muscle groups.
Yeah, I did the more work on the triceps because, I want – good-looking arms.
The rope? You do the rope, man?
Not the rope, but, but narrow grip. Narrow grip.
The V push-down? Yep, gotcha. Yeah.
Did all that stuff.
Excellent. Well done, man. How you feeling?
So far, good, but it's only been...
a couple hours.
I went where my wife and I have made a pledge because, you know, got to get into fighting shape for the 2024 electoral calendar. I got lots of travel ahead, you know, following the electoral relevance soon.
Certainly.
Going to Iowa soon. Don't want to get out of shape on the road, Dom.
More out of shape.
Hey, I'm working on it.
Good for you, dude. So how long did this workout take? I mean,
my wife came looking for me after exactly 1 hour.
All right, an hour. Did you do any warm up, man? Any cardio to warm up?
No cardio. No cardio.
None of that, huh?
Not today.
And you got to stretch it out, man. These are muscles.
I did stretch.
Okay. Yeah.
Proper stretching.
Okay.
Relative. I started with the legs.
Good.
And, you know, I'm sure I'll be a little sore tomorrow, but.
I hope so, man. Like, good sore. Not bad sore. Nothing hurt. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Well,
back,
just
shoulders.
Sore elbow.
Yeah, sore elbow.
You've heard me
complain
about this elbow quite a bit. Oh, my elbow. I think it's broken.
My arm is broken.
I'll barely be able to hold up 12 ounces at a time later.
Yeah, I have ultimate confidence in you, Michael.
You will
work through it.
Dom's in town. She's like, what's that mean? I said, you know what that means.
Means
going
balls.
To a bar, baby. Going to a bar. And
well, I mean, that's why you work out, man. You get a little extra leeway in your dietary decisions during the day.
If you
burn a few calories and work out a little bit.
Saw you do like a 10-pound curl before in the lobby. You were holding the baby down.
Oh, I know.
Cutest little baby.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I took a picture of you in the house.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right when the baby started crying.
Yeah.
Because you have that effect on all the girls.
She was getting hungry, man. Too much testosterone here.
It was such a beautiful baby. I did not offer or ask to hold the baby. I feel like I would make it sick. Like, you know, like I wasn't feeling great last week. I just, Nate's, out sick. I don't want to.
Don't get sick. Don't get me sick, man.
Well, you're a big strapping lad. Yeah, that's a little tiny.
Got my flu shot. Got my COVID shot. Ready to go, dude.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Ready to go. So you're getting up tomorrow morning going to Biden.
No.
No. Okay. No. Just so, want to clarify.
Somebody, are we going to have some Biden coverage tomorrow?
There will be Biden coverage. Right.
We'll bring it during our show between 4 and 6. Whatever cuts we have. Well, I mean, it is campaign time, man. And this is the third time in, that Joe Biden's been to Wisconsin. What, twice in this year? Was he here earlier this year?
Also announced earlier today that Kamala Harris coming back to Wisconsin.
Vice President Harris.
January trip. She will be on a reproductive freedom tour. We'll talk about freedom.
Freedom!
In hour number two. But, you know, the guy that always brought up freedom, guy that made me hate the word freedom, yeah. At least when he said it.
Oh, and he said it so terribly.
Scotty Walker.
Oh, God.
Freedom.
Well, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Damn it.
They were trying. It was like try hard guy. I mean, this was, remember that speech? He said freedom. It was like the Charlie Hebdo terrorist.
I don't know where you get the Charlie Hebdo from, but
because I think that was right before he started speaking or his speech where he brought about freedom and he talked about all these things, and he was, of course, as governor of Wisconsin at the time, he was just gearing up for his presidential run, or may have already announced at that point.
Well, I do recall we were in the rotunda, Wisconsin State Capitol rotunda. Scott Walker had recently been reelected, and he was giving like his inaugural address in the state capitol. And he referenced the word freedom like 35 times. And I think somewhere you pulled it out and did a collage of the wanker. Freedom. And Scott Walker had recently, as mentioned, won re-election here in the state of Wisconsin. And everybody strongly suspected the wanker was gearing up for a presidential run. And why do we think that? Because right in the front row were national donors like Fraser Freeze, and he's given this freedom, 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 love, and speech at the Wisconsin State Capitol. And, you know, then he ran a shadow campaign down. Within a matter of just a couple of weeks, he had run off to Iowa. January 27th, I believe, 2015, we saw Wanker at the Iowa Freedom Caucus. The Citizens United Iowa Freedom Caucus.
Yes.
And Wanker was too big shot to come to the spin room that day.
He was. He was the belle of the ball. He took off his suit coat and rolled up his sleeves.
And he came around the lectern.
Yes, came out from the podium, and he was very – came out to the
– Dropkick Murphys,
yes.
From the departed.
Ironically enough, ship it up to Boston. Of course, Dropkick Murphys tweeted out, Scott Walker, please stop playing our music. We literally hate you.
And he also – lied on the stage that day, as near as I can tell. Maybe this is true, but Walker had a wonderful gift for exaggeration, I'd call it. He, in his book, Unintimidated, claimed he was surrounded by protesters in La Crosse, and he feared for his life. And I called the local journalist friend in La Crosse, and that never happened. And there were other incidents of questionable veracity, Dom. There was the threat against Tonette Walker. She'd be gutted like a deer. Only Walker never proved that threat. Chief Irwin of the Capitol Police, the only veracity of the threat backer was Wanker's appointee, Chief Irwin. But no one else ever knew about the threat or could prove the threat. But Walker used that in his speechifying down there in Iowa, Dom. And he was the belle of the ball, and he had big ambitions and dreams, lifelong dreams of being the president of the United States.
That didn't work out too well.
Well, spoiler alert, we'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
On the other side, more Devil's Advocates. It's a Tuesday, Biden Eve edition.
Freedom.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Donald Trump declared he'd go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to appeal the ruling by Colorado's highest court that he can't be on the ballot there for trying to overthrow the 2020 election.
court accepted the argument that Trump engaged in insurrection in violation of the 14th Amendment. Lawsuits like this have come before courts in seven states, but this is the first time that Trump has been deemed ineligible for office. But this is not the final word. The Trump campaign calling this ruling deeply undemocratic, adding that they will swiftly appeal to the United States Supreme Court.
ABC's Mola Lenghi. Civil libertarians are suing to stop it, and the White House and Mexico's president came out strongly against the new Texas law authorizing state and local police to arrest migrants entering the state illegally. Google getting out its checkbook, paying $700 million to settle allegations that it stifles competition against its Play Store. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. QuitTrip is expanding operations and plans to hire 500 more people in Wisconsin by 2027. The company plans to invest $151 million of its own money and $15 million worth of help from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. The new investment focuses on expanding their dairy, commissary, and bakery facilities in La Crosse. Governor Tony Evers is demanding the legislature release $125 million to address PFAS contamination. That money was approved by the legislature in the bipartisan budget earlier this year. But that funding can't be used by the State Department of Natural Resources until the legislature says how it can be spent. The DNR announced Tuesday that they will have to abandon their process of setting standards for how much PFAS is in groundwater until they can access that funding. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, light winds and lower 20s by sunup. On your Wednesday, morning clouds will give way to sunshine, highs topping out in the upper 30s. More clouds on the way Wednesday night. We'll keep them around on Thursday. Late Thursday night, a little rain and snow mix. It's 21 at our studios.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary. Amen. In a top 40 world.
Welcome back to
to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Dom's creating an echo in the studio here. What are you doing, man? Turn off that monitor.
It's not me, man. It's not me.
If you leave it on, I will literally hate you. like the Dropkick Murphys hated Scott Walker. And why the long wind up with the Scott Walker bashing? Because A, it's always merited. And B, Ron DeSantis is the Scott Walker of the 2024 cycle. Although, let's give DeSantis credit where due. He's already exceeded the longevity of Scott Walker's campaign. Wanker didn't make it to Iowa.
DeSantis isn't there yet.
Well, Wanker made it to Des Moines, Iowa for the Iowa Freedom Summit or whatever we called it. Freedom Summit. Very big, these Republicans stealing the word freedom. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And you can always be a part, 844-967-2789. The phone lines, they're open, as are the text lines. Our buddy Mark from the SAC points out, isn't that paragon of virtue, Jim Troupas, still on the the Ethics Commission here in Wisconsin?
Yes.
I believe you're correct in that assessment, Mark. I believe Jim Troupas is an ethics commissioner. Let that sink in. Here's another one. Andrew from Verona. Crudy, I think you'd benefit more from pushing back a plate of cookies.
I mean, I would say this to that point. You know, the older we get, it's, you can't really outwork a bad diet, man. You can't, unless you're a professional athlete, you can't burn the amount of calories that you'd really need to burn in order to undo the, you know, pizza, burger, fries, all that kind of stuff that have booze that have so many calories in them. So really at this point, at our age, we're better off just eating better. But, you know, working out's also fun.
I can't cut back on the cookies, man.
I mean, it's that time of year, dude.
Andrew also recommends that I pop that Advil. Yes, probably good advice. I will not heed unless it's to get rid of my hangover because I'm planning on going out drinking a little bit later. And here's another one, Wes from Middleton. Those hotels, have gyms, Crudy.
Yes, they do.
Also, I know a guy that could get you a referral bonus at the Gammon Road Anytime Fitness. I got a gym. I just don't utilize the membership often. But today I did.
Yes, today you did. Well done, sir. Tomorrow's another day.
Tomorrow's a rest. Thursday will be my next day at the gym.
I did have to look it up, Crudy. It was Scott Walker's 2015 State of the State speech. In which he referenced
the freedom speech.
That was the freedom speech.
Inaugural speech. They're similar in timing, but different speeches.
And I know we have the cut here. But
usually get it right, like 100%.
But I remember this one. Here's how he concluded his speech back then. Last week, innocent people were targeted in France by terrorists. These cowards are not symbols of confidence. They are overwhelmed by fear. They are afraid of
Charlie
freedom. Hebdo. They're afraid of those who have freedom of the press. They're afraid of freedom of speech. They're afraid of freedom of religion. We'll talk about that, too. Together, we must stand together, Democrat and Republican, and denounce those who wish to threaten freedom anywhere in the world. We need to proclaim that attack against freedom-loving people anywhere is attack against us all. We will not allow it. We will take a stand. We will make it easier to work for freedom and prosperity right here in Wisconsin. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the great state of Wisconsin. May God bless freedom-loving people all over the world.
Freedom.
Yes.
Well done, Aaron. Freedom.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I bring up the freedom claiming wanker, Scott Walker, mostly because of his failure, his implosion as a presidential candidate. I mean, it brought me a little bit of joy.
A little bit of joy.
To this day, it still warms my cockles a little bit to know we played some small part in crushing his presidential ambitions. The only thing that would make me perhaps, well, maybe not feel better, but, you know, equally as good.
What's that?
Somehow making Ron DeSantis cry before he drops out of the race. I will travel. I've been saying this for a while. I bet you I could be the one that makes Ron DeSantis cry. A, I'm taller than him.
So?
Substantially. Well, he's been wearing the lifts. And when you wear the lifts, that means the toes are all bunched up in the front. So if you step on the front of Ron DeSantis' foot, I mean, I could literally make the man cry because his toes are all jammed in the front from the 2.5-inch lifts in the back.
Come on.
And then I'm going to tower over him.
You'll never get that close, man.
I've stood next to Scott Walker, Newt Gingrich. You shook Trump's
but
hand.
Trump shook my hand, but you haven't stepped on anyone's feet. I mean,
I could have.
Not physically.
Well, I've stepped on a few toes, yes. Broken a few eggs, made a few omelets in
burned
this world.
Burned a few bridges. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Just salted the earth. You know, I feel like I owed it to the earth. Ron DeSantis is plummeting. He's crashing. He's burning.
He's very Scott Walker-like.
Exactly. It is. He's Scott Walker with an Ivy League haircut. Like a more successful Scott Walker.
Do we have a sound of him dropping out? Did you want to play that one?
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Aaron's at the ready.
All right.
Aaron's already. But let's anticipate the dropping out of Ron DeSantis for just a minute.
All right. Let's.
Hopefully post-Crudy makes him cry. How Ron DeSantis squandered his chance against Trump, according to Karen Tumulty over at the Washington Post. The spiraling collapse of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been one of the most absorbing subplots of the 2024 presidential campaign. Looking back at how things played out, it becomes clear that the first indictment of Donald Trump was also a death warrant for the hopes of the candidate who was his closest rival. Though few might remember this now as DeSantis' campaign gasped for life in Iowa, but it was a year ago that he was actually leading Trump by a healthy margin in some polls, and was the darling of the donor class. Like Scott Walker in 2015.
You know, it always starts out good.
Back then, DeSantis was coming off a landslide re-election in Florida, like Walker in Wisconsin. A contrast from the disappointment that Republicans nationally had suffered in the midterm, the assumption Trump would be toast in 24 against President Biden. What the GOP needed was a combative conservative who would appeal to the MAGA base, without the accompanying Trumpian chaos. What's Nikki Haley say? Chaos follows that man.
But that's what his voters want. They want the chaos. He is the chaos candidate.
Where the Florida governor's support started showing a marked decline was in late March, right around the time Trump was indicted for the first of four times. Paradoxically, it worked to the former president's political advantage. GOP leaders and even his presidential rivals rallied behind him, with Trump facing a total of 91 criminal charges. DeSantis decried the weaponization of government and said the country is going down the road of criminalizing political differences.
Is that what it is? Hey, Biden won the election. I politically disagree with you. I want to win.
Dom, in other words, DeSantis, along with nearly every other serious GOP contender, bought into and amplified Trump's narrative of victimhood rather than seizing upon the substance of the 91 felony charges against him. And with Biden's approval stuck in a slump, Trump edged into a narrow lead in most polls. As Republican fears that Trump was unelectable receded, DeSantis discovered there were fewer takers for the imitation version of MAGA that he offered. He's like a watered-down version of your more favored fascist, Dom.
Crudy, his campaign's disastrous launch in May, a cringeworthy interview with billionaire Elon Musk of Twitter Spaces, where the platform's server repeatedly crashed, turned out to be a metaphor for his candidacy that had been built upon one miscalculation after another. His deficiencies as a candidate became increasingly obvious as the months wore on.
DeSantis or Walker now?
We're still talking about DeSantis, but see, that's the parallel, man. You could just do a word search replace and it would still be meaningful. DeSantis had the personal touch of a robot vacuum cleaner. He dropped acronyms such as ESG and references to central bank digital currency into his stump speeches, often drawing blank looks from his audiences. The governor promised to make America Florida and reveled in harsh policies that had been enacted on his watch, his obsessive campaign against Disney, one of Florida's largest employers, a host of anti-woke restrictions on public education, one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, none of which would play well with general election voters upon whom the presumption of DeSantis's electability rested. Then there was the money. DeSantis pushed the legal bounds of campaign finance system as no one had done before. Wow, man. This
stretched it beyond the boundaries stretched by Scott Walker in his 527. Remember, he had the shadow campaign?
Yeah, well, American Revival or something along
that. Our American Revival, and they stole the logo from that eyeglass company.
That's right. DeSantis pushed the legal bounds of the campaign finance system as no one had before, outsourcing his ground operation, pardon me, to the super PAC, Never Back Down. What? I mean, what does Scott Walker always say?
I will not back down.
I will not back down. Pardon me. To which he transferred $82.5 million in funds from his Florida reelection campaign, under which the law could not be used directly by law. Could not be used directly in a federal campaign. He thumbed his nose at the legal requirement that the candidate and the super PAC operate independently, trundling through Iowa and New Hampshire as a special guest on Never Back Down's huge Death Star of a campaign bus. Death Star. Not a warm, fuzzy blanket. His actual campaign, meanwhile, was burning through money to the point where, by the fall, it was effectively running on fumes. That meant advertising, its message, would also become the responsibility of the super PAC. The candidate had become essentially a bystander to his own campaign.
Broken, watching from the sidelines. Man.
It was inevitable that tensions would boil over. The DeSantis campaign operation has gone through several shakeups, and in recent weeks, top officials of the super PAC have resigned or been fired. Over the past weekend, Jeff Rowe, the strategic brain of Never Back Down, resigned, saying he cannot in good conscience stay affiliated with the group. What's left of the super PAC itself has made dark insinuations of mismanagement and conduct issues by those who have departed. Meanwhile, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has supplanted DeSantis as the candidate in the PAC, who appears to have an outside shot opposing a threat to Trump. The odd thing is, amid all this, DeSantis has stepped up his game as a candidate. His debate performances are smoother. He appears more relaxed on the stump, and he is making himself more available to less-than-friendly media outlets, such as appearance this week on MSNBC's Morning Joe. But these are marginal improvements, and with the Iowa caucuses less than a month away, whatever DeSantis has learned has likely come too late to make a difference. Yes, miracles happen with some frequency in politics, and DeSantis might still pull one off. But presidential campaigns are built to be tests of resilience, and brittle candidates usually wind up in pieces. Karen Tumulty writing at the Washington Post.
Just like Wanker did.
Just like Walker, man. Unbelievable.
Still crying in his pillow at night, I suspect.
Ah, so close, yet so far away.
A little bit more coverage of the faltering campaign of Ron DeSantis. Florida voters are starting to turn on Governor Ron DeSantis, according to new polling from Progress Florida and the Florida Watch. Florida Politics reports Tuesday. The two groups, together known as the Florida Communications and Research Hub, found Florida voters wary of the presidential candidate's agenda. They also found him underwater, 52-45. DeSantis's favorability rating is also in negative territory, -5. And that's a big flip from just a year ago when DeSantis was reelected by nearly 20 points. But of course, that was against a false Democrat, Charlie Crist. The Hub's polling shows nothing short of a nosedive. And nationwide, Governor DeSantis attempts to beat Donald Trump. The GOP frontrunner have turned into a battle for second place against Trump UN ambassador Nikki Haley. And the latest Real Clear Politics polling average shows Trump is in first place by 50 points. He's not polling 50%, but beating narrowly second place DeSantis by 50 points, despite 91 felony charges and 4 separate indictments. Trump's current polling average amongst GOP voters, 63%. DeSantis, 12%. Haley, 11.6%.
Oh, close. Come on, Haley.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. This guy. He's just like Scott Walker. He's a wanker. I can't wait to make him cry. Come back. Your calls could be next. 844-967-2789. Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Freedom.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would
be... Pat! Come on! Okay.
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Today, I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the field. I will suspend my campaign immediately.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
I will never tire
of that.
Of wanker dropping out to the sound of applause. A soul. I forget who it was. The guy that looked a little bit like Lincoln.
Yeah. Oh, what was his name?
I'll think of it. Give me
Even in his speech, I'm being called to lead by not leading. You know what I mean? How are you leading by quitting? Is that leading? Is that really?
I always love that these Republican candidates are always called upon by God. Yeah. I prayed about it, and God told me I was the chosen one. Yes. That's how they all feel like in March, Dom.
And then
they go the route of Scott Walker and soon Ron DeSantis, and then God is
no longer favorable on them.
It's more like an Old Testament God at this point.
He's an angry God.
A vengeful God. Sending the plagues down upon the Scott Walker. It started with the cabinet injury, and it's gone to hell since then. 844-967-2789. Bear with me. I'll get there. Got to have two screens to get a phone call up, apparently, around here. CJ, welcome back, man.
Hey, CJ.
Ron DeSantis or bust, CJ, right?
What's that?
Ron DeSantis or bust.
Well, the funny thing is you didn't mention that all three of those candidates, DeSantis, Haley, and Trump, beat Biden in the latest NBC poll.
How about in 2020? Are you still claiming they beat him then? DeSantis.
You guys go ahead and worry about them, because the one you should be worried about is the one that's in office now, because he's a disaster, not even just here, but around the world.
Really? Well, tell us, CJ, how exactly is he a disaster? Articulate it. Give me like your five biggest Biden disasters. Go.
Biden disasters? How about Afghanistan? How about Iran? How about Russia? How about... you know, I could go on and on.
Okay, so foreign policy. And you're not a fan of the foreign policy. I just want to be clear, CJ. It's a foreign policy, right? So give me like your best Donald Trump foreign policy victories.
He had the border under control, number
Did
one.
He
had our economy booming,
what?
Number two.
That's foreign policy? But continue.
My tenants could afford rent. I could afford my mortgage. I could afford to buy a new car.
Come on, man. You've been traveling in Florida. Don't act all broke on us now.
Okay, so is Joe Biden made the rent go up?
Well, I'm talking about everything. Look at our universities. I'm talking not just
hey,
about
remember, you remember when gas was so children. Expensive? Remember when everyone was complaining about gas, CJ? I gassed up today. It was like less than $2.70 a gallon. Is that – and I know you were very critical. You come on the show and you were very critical about the high gas prices, blaming Joe Biden. I remember that, CJ. Do you now then – give Joe Biden credit for reducing the price of gas? I'm just curious how you address those things now, because you were critical before high gas prices. It was Biden's fault, but now they're lower. Are you giving Biden credit for that?
Yes, he used up our strategic oil reserve. I am, Dom. We can't afford to fill it. We're ready to go to war because of this clown, and you guys want to worry about the price per gallon. It's beyond
but
the price
that's, you were very worried about it in the past, CJ, but I just you're not very consistent, I think, in your criticism.
Were any of those actual foreign policy successes of Trump?
I don't know. No,
I mean, you ask for his successes.
Right, right. Helsinki was very successful for Trump or for Putin. I don't know why it would, though.
For their love life,
yes,
certainly.
Yes, certainly, certainly. Good try, CJ.
I bet they
try
had great
tomorrow.
Sex that night.
844-967-2789. Ross from Soldiers Grove, you are next. Welcome, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, guys. After listening to him, I'm almost thinking of changing my mind and going from Biden to Trump, but I'll probably think a little bit more on that.
Yeah, why don't you pray on that one, Ross?
And I think it's also real, and I'm sure... You know, being a modest person, I'm pretty sure he didn't spend that inflation-inducing stimulus check that he got.
Oh, certainly not. No, like, who would? I mean, you can't possibly if you're a true conservative.
I'm pretty sure he gave that money back, you know, because he knew that it was just part of a big inflationary sort of problem. Now, the reason I called in was trying to cogitate on, you know, on this, on like, how is it that with the way the economic conditions, the way that things are going, how is it that my fellow Americans are still, like, thinking of voting for Trump, you know, like, you know, these, you know, I'm thinking like, why is it that I'm not goose stepping with these people into the American future? And I'm sitting here listening to some American country music, not the old stuff, the good stuff, you know, that used to be in the old days, but this sort of modern stuff. And I'm like, how come I don't get this? I mean, I don't get this music. I mean, yeah, it's got a beat, you know, and how come it is that I'm not really drinking that rainbow free, you know, Bush Light, you know, like, what is it? You know, I like salsa. I like rock, the simple rock and roll music. And I'm thinking, what is it about me that makes me so different from everybody? And then finally I thought, oh, let me try this. And sure enough, I get an Ancestry.com. And you know what I found out?
What?
I found out that I have vermin blood. I just found out that I've actually got vermin blood. And it really just explains everything. And so now I've got to try to find somebody, so that maybe some kind of mental health person that can talk me out from my genes, my genetic makeup that says
Ross,
that I've actually got vermin blood.
Remember when Trump, well, more accurately, Hillary Clinton described half the Trump supporters as a basket full of deplorables. And many of them embraced that label.
That wasn't the smartest thing yet.
Ross, you're the first one we've had that's embraced the vermin label, man. Should get some T-shirts printed
you know,
or something.
It's really humble, but I'm out there looking for therapists. I'm out there looking for people that maybe like those people that try to convert homosexuality, try to get them to go straight. I think if maybe like the last caller might have some leads for me that might be able to bring me through some anti-vermin therapy that might help me.
Appreciate the call.
You got to pray the vermin away, Ross.
Can you pray away the vermin?
I don't think you can. I think if you're vermin, you're vermin.
You know, in the 5 o'clock happy hour, we're going to talk about freedom. Freedom. What's it mean to you? What's it mean to me? We know what it meant to Scott Walker, a losing campaign pledge.
Well, I know Republicans, conservatives embrace the term quite a bit, but I got to tell you, some of the policies that they actually support aren't very freedom fulfilling, let's call it.
You're not down for banning the books? Don't say the gay.
There's a whole list. Callers, we know you're there. Be patient. We'll come back. Get more of you in the happier happy hour, 844-967-2789.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Richard.